I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, August 7th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride. How wild and dystopic? Well, we have several illustrations of that, not the least of which is the hijacking of our political system long, long time ago, by degrees, over the years, decades, generations, and we've been left with a vestige, a form of a thing without the function of it, and we've been misled and mistaught history and things, so we'll straighten that out a little bit here this morning, correct the record, and do a little remedial history, compliments of the Reese Committee, and this comes to me by way of Larry. So thank you, Larry. We'll probably dive into the mailbag a little bit today. That would be good. In fact, speaking of that, let me just do this first. We need to get back into, dive into the how wild and dystopic. From Friday's broadcast, we missed Lark's call, but he wanted to correct the conversation that Lynn and I were having and my reference, which was to the website. You know, Lynn said, I think it's Crossroad or crossroads.to, and it is Crossroad because as you will see on the website, obviously the reference is to the Crossroad. I kind of don't want to, I would, if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, I think that people should investigate for themselves. I mean, you go to the website, you read, "Welcome, dear friends. Long ago, one of God's faithful servants saw the crossroad ahead." And you can read the rest. I'll leave it at that. So that's why it's Crossroad, singular, not plural. You can read for yourself. The crossroad. What is the crossroad, you see after you read Joshua 24:15, the crossroad. What is it? So, if you're not familiar, read for yourself. But we're, as Lynn and I were discussing this, Lark called in to correct the record. And so from Lark, his email, in Norway is Crossroad Ministries in Norway is largely the work of Barrett. I always say Chos, but it's Juice or Use, a Norwegian Christian woman married to an ex-American, to an American expat, excuse me. Her site contains a lot of useful information, I agree, about our least favorite C word, much of it lifted from Nikki with permission, crossroad.to. Barbara Aho is the Christian woman from Wisconsin behind the Watch Unto Prayer site. Yes, exactly. Memorable for me was her excellent series titled The Synarchy. And so he includes links to both Watch Unto Prayer. Those three words are hyphenated, two hyphens to separate watchuntoprayer.org. And then watchuntoprayer.org/synarchy-1.html. And so he adds, this was all I wanted to share. And so this is from Friday's broadcast. This is an important clarification, and I agree. This is great information. I don't have my usual stuff handy these days, so I appreciate the points of clarification. And these are invaluable resources, speaking of the historical record and correcting it. So there's that. That's important stuff. Next up, our first entry in the how wild and dystopic and how crazy the gaslighting and so on. This is an example of what happens on the regular. You know, every time the White House has a press conference, we hear weird Orwellian language that gaslights reality and tries to deny and extinguish the whole truth, which is redundant. But in any case, this happens. Can we play the clip, please? Yeah, can we play the clip, please? Thanks.
We've been very clear about this. When this question comes up in the briefing, we've been very clear and have said we've been very clear. And so we've been very clear about that. This is something that clearly we've been doing for some time. He's been very clear. We've been very clear about that. So look, I mean, we've been very clear on this. We're going to make sure that we are very clear. We've been very clear. I just laid out where our position has been. What I wanted to be very clear is that we've been very clear. We've been very clear. We've been very clear that we've said this before. We've been very clear about this. The president clearly has been very clear about clearly, but just wanted to make that very clear. And I just don't want to get ahead of that. Clearly, and the president has been very public, has been very clear. We've been very clear. The president has been very clear, and we've been very clear. But again, I cannot be more clearer. And let's be very clear. Clearly. We've been very clear. We've been clear on our record. And one of the things that the president's going to make very clear, the entire Biden-Harris administration have been clear. And we have been very clear. Look, the president is certainly has made himself very clear. He's been very clear. Clearly, it is pretty clear, right? Look, the president has been really clear. So the president, you saw the president's statement. He's been very clear about this. But if you lay that out, that's pretty clear. We've been very clear about that. We have said, I said very clearly that they were very clear about that. Because clearly, and so we're going to continue to be very clear about it. And so I want to make sure that these words come out very clearly, but I want to be very clear, but also clearly. Clearly, we've been very upfront, but we also have to be very clear that, you know, more clearly, as President Biden made clear, this is something clearly that this is not the first time. The president has always been very clear. And the president has been very clear. We've been also very clear about that. Clearly, we've been very clear, and we have been very clear. We've kind of laid that out and been very clear. That is something that we will be very clear about, clearly. Finally, one last thing. The president has been very clear. I have been very clear. We've all been very clear.
And clearly, that was excessive. Anyway, that's it for now. Follow me on Twitter at DontWantRun.
That was excessive. All right. So, why does this happen? Obviously, clearly, this is in an effort to deny reality and to gaslight the truth out of existence. When she says, when Corinne Jean-Pierre says, you know, the president has been very clear, we've been very clear on this, it's anything but that. To say that is to attempt to gaslight reality and pretend that what has been muddled and muddied is somehow, it somehow makes sense, and it doesn't. Or the spin, the Orwellian spin, where reality is flipped on its head. And as we hear on Republic Broadcasting and, you know, on the news with Views commercials, for example, reality is flipped and gaslighted and illusion is presented as reality. And if you hear we've been very clear and you have any questions about what you're hearing, which doesn't make sense in reality land, then as James Corbett said in 9/11, A Conspiracy Theory, you are a you-know-what paranoid tinfoil dog-abusing baby hater, and you will be reviled by everyone, because everyone knows that, you know, they've been very clear, obviously, since she said it. And, you know, if you doubt any of that, Corinne Jean-Pierre is a homosexual. She identifies as a homosexual. So you can't question anything, because if you did that, then you'd really be a she's a woman of color, a homosexual woman of color. And so she checks all of the SJW boxes. And to question anything she says obviously makes you, you know, a misogynistic, homophobic, paranoid, tinfoil, dog-abusing baby hater. So, but I think Romans chapter 1 is in full effect. When you do this in the White House, you know, there was a time, speaking of discrimination, I was thinking about it over the weekend. There was a time vacationing is a big thing in America. Recreation is a big thing these days, since we're heading toward Edward Bellamy's plagiarized novel, or was it everybody was automatic writing? Should we play Kung Fu Fighting? Everybody was automatic writing. We're headed toward the scenario of Edward Bellamy's Looking Backward. So recreation is a big deal. You can, you know, obviously Airbnb, VRBO, these are things that people are familiar with in today's America. And you can vacation places. You can still vacation at hotels and things like that. And now we are in a place where you cannot question a person's personal proclivities, because to do so makes you a horrible person. Even though we have the ESG nonsense, which says that if you're not fully on board with the social credit coercion nonsense, then again, you must be a paranoid tinfoil dog abusing baby hater. So interesting, the irony there. But going back a little while, even in our own American history, in the in the early days of the Eisenhower's interstate highway system, it wasn't uncommon to find places that would ask you, you know, like if man and woman show up, and the person working at the front desk saw that, you know, observed perhaps, you know, neither one of them have rings, or maybe he has a ring, she doesn't, something like that, they would ask, so are you two married? Is it Mr. and Mrs. such and such? We used to do that in America. And if they were not, or if it was presumed they were not, then maybe this person wouldn't rent them a room. Yeah, we are not gonna sully our establishment with that kind of thing. You know, if you're not married, then you can look elsewhere. There were entire towns that operated that way. And now we have the opposite. You can't question people along those lines, but if you are not fully supportive of ridiculous pronouns and gender as a construct, which is absurd, social construct, then, you know, again, you must be a paranoid, tinfoil, dog-abusing baby hater who will be reviled by everyone. I think it's Romans chapter 1. And what you see happening from about verse 18 forward, it's pretty amazing. I think we'll start here and then we'll go to the Reese Committee stuff. Compliments of Larry. Something that Russ Winter posted over at Winter Watch. So Romans chapter 1 from verse 18 in the NASB 95 reads, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Why? Because that which is known about God is evident within them. That's interesting. You know, next verse concludes with, "so that they are without excuse," but not to get ahead. "Because that which is known about God is evident in them, for God made it evident to them." That's interesting. Again, skipping ahead, "so that they are without excuse," but not to skip ahead. Verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen." That's an interesting statement. It sounds like an oxymoron. How is what's invisible clearly seen? Speaking of clearly, 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 he has made it very clear. It's been clearly seen. This is clear. Look around. You know, again, Principia Mathematica, the whole world, you know, the magical, hidden, mysterious language of the universe is math. It's math. That's what unlocks the secrets of the universe. Well, riddle me this, Batman. Where did math come from? Who created math? How was all of this spun up into perfect synchronicity just by accident? "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." They should skip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures." And then what? Then, you know, the slippery slope and careening over the cliff into free fall. "Therefore, God gave them over to in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Did you know that the Barbie movie opens with an homage to Kubrick's 2001 and little girls smashing their babies' heads Did you know that? Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadrepreciousmetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the
Welcome
sun.
Back.
You know what I mean, don't you know?
Butterfly. All right, so not to dive too far down the rabbit hole, but you know it's a short trip from the space exploration stuff to very, very dark stuff, you know, that's made very plainly evident if you start looking in the background of Jack Parsons and NASA and JPL in particular. And same thing with 2001: A Space Odyssey, written by Kubrick and Arthur C. Clarke. The opening scene, there are allusions to Thus Spoke Zarathustra and some very dark thematic elements. Barbie opens with an homage to that opening scene in 2001: A Space Odyssey, and the smashing of their baby dolls and the baby dolls' heads in particular by little girls, young girls. And I don't like the term little girls and little boys. I think we should call them young men and young women. I think that would be moving in the right linguistic direction. I think that little boys and little girls suffer from Pan syndrome, little boys in particular, and they never grow up. And that in contrast to what John Taylor Gatto has told us about our own history, for example, let alone history into antiquity, where the concept of little boys and little girls is anathema. It doesn't exist. You think about the Native American tribes that used to send young men out into the wilderness by themselves as a rite of passage for a period of time so that they could prove that they were men. And we don't have anything like that in America today, besides perhaps, you know, military service and things like that. No wonder young men gravitate in those directions without any other outlet to prove that they are men now. But now this society is telling them that everything male is toxic, or everything man, I should say, because male is a dehumanizing term. I digress. Back to Romans chapter 1. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And this makes me think of that opening scene in Barbie, where the little girls are smashing their dolls, and their dolls' heads in particular. This is a new moment. This is a watershed moment. What are they doing? You don't have to be a mother anymore. You don't have to raise children. You can be an icon. You can be an objectified icon like Barbie. Romans 1:27, continuing, and in the same way, also the men abandoned their natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. In contemporary conventional terms, people who see the Barbie movie and are familiar with, you know, the correlation to modern thematic elements say that Ken and friends are all very beta. Continuing. Verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. And this is where we end up with a society that is represented by the clip we played of Corinne Jean-Pierre, who is the poster person for all of this nonsense, saying, lying, just repeatedly, lying. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3. First hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Monday, August 7th, 2023. We've come a long way, or we've gone a long way backward in America over the last few generations. But how did we get here? Let's talk about that a little bit, shall we? Education had to be prepared in advance to endorse the decline. We see in documents
documents like the protocols or the communist rules for revolution, that making men soft, emasculating them, corrupting them, getting them interested in, you know, very carnal-minded kinds of things was important. And that, you know, what an amazing coincidence. Those documents that are allegedly apocryphal or spurious or whatever, fakes, seem to have laid out a plan that has been followed. How amazing that fake documents have been followed virtually to the letter to corrupt people. So speaking of the mailbag, from Bill Johnson's fantastic emails, also one of the most recent, he included the quote by William Hazlitt in The Ignorance of the Learned, published in 1821. Anyone who has passed through the regular gradations of a classical education and is not made a fool by it may consider himself as having had a very narrow escape. I like to imagine that this is a place where the escapees gather and commiserate. So, back to the article that was forwarded to me by Larry. This article published by Russ Winter over at winterwatch.net, titled "Reese Committee Report from 1954 Shows Foundations Funded the Collectivist Capture of U.S. Education." So how did this happen? We have people like John Taylor Gatto, the late, great Charlotte Isserby, and many others who have weighed in on this subject. You know, folks like Sam Blumenfeld, he's another one. Telling us these stories. We've had a number of fantastic voices tell us what the heck is going on. But somehow we keep forgetting. You know, another speaking of all of this, another entry in the cringeworthy plot to capture and take over our minds is psychic driving. That's another email that Larry sent me. How does psychic driving work? Well, one of the primary mechanisms that it worked in MK Ultra, pioneered by Dr. Donald Ewan Cameron, we're told anyway, was repetition. So how is it that even though, and you know, we know that we come here, we gather to commiserate and remember that reality still exists and is reality. But, you know, we go away once we disband and have to go be subjected to the onslaught that is daily life in America these days. How is it that we forget all of these things that we've discovered or that we researched? I used to say that the big guy, John Stadmiller, and, you know, for that matter, the late, great Jack Otto, forgot more than most of us ever learn. But for the rest of us, how do we go away and forget all these things? And I think a lot of it is, speaking of psychic driving, it's that repetition. It's the things that are just droned into us over the course of time. And it is very difficult. This gets back to Hayek's Road to Serfdom, I think, chapter 11 in particular, The End of Truth. The difference of totalitarian propaganda, which is all-encompassing in scope, which is the difference. That's how it feels in America these days, I would say. It's overwhelming. Anyway, back to this entry, Russ Winter's article over at Winter Watch titled Reese Committee Report from 1954 shows foundations funded the collectivist capture of U.S. education. And from the Post, which, you know, if you're not familiar, we all should read, Norman Dodd, 1899 to 1987, was the chief investigator for the Congressional Reese Committee in 1952 to 54. This was, there's more to the story because it was known alternatively as the Cox Committee and the Reese Committee after its congressional leaders. The Cox Committee was first, and ended up concluding that, nope, everything is shipshape, nothing to see here. And is one of those curious deals. Let's see if the Wikipedia entry says so. The Select Committee to Investigate Tax-Exempt Foundations and Comparable Organizations was an investigative committee of the United States House of Representatives between 1952 and 1954. The committee was originally created by House Resolution 561 during the 82nd Congress. The committee investigated the use of funds by tax-exempt organizations, nonprofit organizations, to see if they were being used to support communism. Oh, yes, absolutely. But what is communism? It's just anti-Christianity, that's all. It's Christianity just without God. So, the committee was alternatively known as the Cox Committee and the Reese Committee after its two chairmen, Edward E. Cox and Carol B. Reese. And Edward Eugene Cox, 52. Select committee led by Edward E. Cox of the House of Representatives began an investigation of the educational and philanthropic foundations and other comparable organizations which are exempt from federal taxes to determine whether they were using their resources for the purposes for which they were established, and especially to determine which such foundations and organizations are using their resources for un-American activities and subversive activities or for purposes not in the interest or tradition of the United States, quote unquote. What I'm curious about, though, is, here it is. So members, Edward Eugene Cox of Georgia served as chairman of the committee until his death on December 24, Merry Christmas, 1952. So, you know, Edward Eugene Cox, the original chairman of this committee to investigate the foundations, just happens to die during the investigation, the initial, you know, stages of the investigation. And the Reese Committee, named after its chairman, B. Carroll Reese, picks up where Edward Eugene Cox and folks left off. And curiously, as Brooks Hayes of Arkansas serves as acting chairman, basically, then all of a sudden, the Cox Committee says, nope, everything's fine. Are you following what I'm saying? Edward Eugene Cox dies. Brooks Hayes picks up where he, you know, serves as acting chairman. That committee says everything is shipshape. And the Reese Committee picks up from there, and Norman Dodd, the director of research, and so on. They continue the investigative work from there. Anyway, back to the article. Norman Dodd investigated the un-American activities of large endowment foundations and, in particular, the Carnegie Rockefeller Guggenheim and Ford Foundation. You also there was a clip that we played. What was that? I think it was from when we played the excerpt from James Corbett's World War I docuseries over at CorbettReport.com/WWI. I think it's just World War I, which includes Richard Grove over at Tragedy and Hope, telling the history, basically, of the Cecil Rhodes last will and trust, the last will and testament, and the trust that coincides, and the agglomeration of wealth to serve this purpose. It is, I would call it communist in nature, particularly because in the Marxist sense, as I have said recently, the idea of communism essentially is the counterfeiting of the Pentecostal moment, the Acts chapter 2 moment. And there is this the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So that should tell us something. If the communist slogan counterfeits what you see happening in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit coincides with what's happening there, then what does that mean in terms of what coincides with the counterfeiting of that? Which is why I think there's a spiritual battle afoot. And it's, you know, the evidence is all around us. So from each according to his ability to each according to his needs is a counterfeiting of what happens in Acts 2:45, for example. But the question is, who decides? And there is so much intervention. That's, you know, not to get too hijacked, but that's the thing about where we are in America today. Communism is everywhere and no one sees it because we don't understand the meta distinction. Who's in charge? Who decides? Who's waiting on God these days? And I've been thinking about it recently, had a couple of conversations about it. You know, there is the old idiom, the patience of Job. What about the patience of Joseph? Joseph is thrown down a well by his brothers, his jealous brothers. He's pulled out, sold into slavery, you know, pulled out only to be sold into slavery. They tell Jacob, his father, you know, that wild animals killed him. Go to the trouble of destroying his coat of many colors, pouring blood on it, tearing it apart, making it look like wild animals. Rip Joseph to shreds. So then he's exiled in Egypt and manages to rise to second in command in Egypt and one would think along the way, I mean, he loves his family, loves his dad, dad loves him. You would think somewhere along the way he would say, man, I got to get back home. In today's America, there would be a GoFundMe page. Somebody would make a GoFundMe page. Send Joseph back home. Joseph needs to go back home. There would be all of this intervention. And so we have in America these days two sides of the same coin. There is P2OG. There's a proactive preemptive operations group going around stimulating reactions. And then the other side is the responsibility to protect, or even the responsibility to prevent all of this intervention. And foreign policy becomes domestic policy. The CIA becomes the FBI, and there's very little distinction. And so now that's just how we operate. You know, I mean, there are so many jokes and cliches, even with my generation, for example, where, you know, we talk about how we grew up, would probably get parents thrown in jail or even prison these days. You get a prison sentence for raising your kids that way. And somehow we all managed to turn out halfway decent anyway. How is that possible without all of this intervention and steering and manipulating of every aspect of people's lives? So the question is, who's in charge? Who decides? Are we leaving those things to God's purview? Or is there some interventionist policy? Is there some state-sanctioned policy or program? Or is there some generally conceived or, you know, some kind of general consensus that we don't do this? Now, through COVID, now we hear people saying, you know, follow the rules. Jim Brewer was joking about that in his comedy stuff early after COVID, if we can say post-COVID now. We played that clip. Follow the rules. Don't we have laws that we follow? So, who is in charge? Who decides? And there was a time, obviously, in America where we left room for God. I was also thinking over the weekend about prayer. Things happen. You know, you look throughout the Bible and a lot of things that happen are accompanied by prayer. Guess we're headed into a break. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023. At antelopehillpublishing.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
These days are all.
come back.
All right. Final segment of the first hour. Short segment now. But back to Russ Winter's article. Norman Dodd was the chief investigator for the Reese Committee, investigating the large endowment foundations, particularly Carnegie, Rockefeller, Guggenheim, and Ford. They operated on a shoestring budget. They were, you know, they were hamstrung from the beginning. Catherine Casey was kind of a plant to disrupt the efforts, you know, and basically retard the efforts of the investigation. There were a number of things that happened coincidentally to try to thwart the efforts of the investigation. Imagine that. And, you know, when you start to understand the background of the folks involved, it becomes no surprise. So the OSS was the forerunner of the CIA. You know, the OSS was created primarily in the interest of intelligence gathering during World War II, and then shut down only to be resurrected, you know, out of the ashes the bird emerges, the phoenix rises out of the ashes and becomes the CIA. So these are the folks that are involved in these foundations, as we read in Russ Winter's article right from the beginning. Before he died, Norman Dodd gave a revealing 1982 interview shown at the end of this article with G. Edward Griffin. In it, he quotes a conversation he had with Rowan Gaither. And Gaither is from a generational old school bad guy family, I would say, Horace Rowan Gaither Jr., the president of the Ford Foundation, who stated that they operated under directives to, quote, use our grant-making power so to alter life in the United States so it can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union, end quote. Gaither came to Ford out of the OSS. And, of course, Norman Dodd says, I about fell off my chair when he said that. You want to merge the United States and the Soviet Union? But how were they going to accomplish this merger? And it was much bigger than that. You know, basically, they want to create a scientific dictatorship out of the United States and Soviet Union that is all-encompassing, the whole world. And what is that? That's the old Western esoteric impulse, the Hellenizing Greek impulse, to finish that great unfinished work of Genesis 11. That'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.